Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and hello, everybody. It is a Monday. I tell you, that was a fast weekend. It feels like I was just here Friday, and then the weekend happened, and now we're back. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass, Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Big weekend for NFL playoffs. We've got a natty tonight for college football, Clemson versus LSU. We are good to go with all that, and that will rule most of the day. Ooh, I just saw a fly.
Breaking
we got
news.
Major breaking news.
Breaking news right out of the gate.
1 year suspension for AJ Hinch and the Astros for the stealing signs. Who else was on there? Were there general
Astros
manager?
GM Jeff Lunau and manager AJ Hinch suspended a year.
A year. Laying down the hammer.
2017 technology.
All right. Now what do
they
we do?
They will fine the Astros $5 million and take away their first and second round picks in 2020 and 21.
Death blow. That's the death penalty for baseball. Well, not really.
I guess.
But are they coming after your Red Sox from 2018? Are they coming after the Yankees? Are they coming after other people that have done it? Have stolen signs
don't
electronically?
Know.
What's next?
I don't know.
Well, breaking news, literally, as we take to the airwaves here. Good afternoon to you all. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me at CraigESPN. And follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Download our app for free. Check out our website, 99.3ESPN.com, and a couple of chances to win $1,000. We had a local winner win $1,000 on Friday.
Rico.
The Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Do me a favor. Can you reach over top right and just turn my headphone volume up a little bit?
You want up?
Up. Just a tiny
bit. Your top right?
The top right.
How's that, Pete Shepherd?
That's perfect.
Oh,
boom.
Nice.
Perfect.
Sweet spot. There we go. All right. How was everybody's weekend?
Awesome. Very uneventful, really, except for the games, which were outstanding.
I'm still shaking. We ran out of fireworks in
Ran out
Kansas
of fireworks
City.
At Arrowhead. Yep.
I had a big weekend, man. Had a family reunion.
That's nice.
A lot of Sheemans.
Wow.
Yeah, I was among my own people.
Do they listen on the online?
Some have, yes. Yes, they have.
Nice.
We met up in Clearwater, had a wonderful day there. Yesterday, my daughter turned 20, so we had a birthday party there.
Reagan,
so.
Happy birthday.
And then you throw a bunch of football all around it, and boom. And then, to keep the whirlwind going, been filling in on First and Last on ESPN Radio this morning and again tomorrow morning, so I'm on, like, no sleep. I'm ready to go.
On no sleep.
You had a golf tournament Saturday. How'd
a golf tournament Saturday, a bunch of flights, and my buddy Jim and I missed out on every one of them by like a shot. But I had one of the greatest shots of my life, as did my buddy Brian from Naples Well Planning. We started on 10. Hits this is only Brian, and he's a good golfer. He's like a 12, but this, and he hits the ball. He can hit the ball 280, 300.
Whoa!
He blasted our first drive. Of course, we start on 10 shotgun. Into the road at Bernina National. I mean, way, way over.
Hooked it or sliced?
No, just hooked it. Just on a line. Just straight on a line. No duck. Just power. Just
smoked
to the left.
It the wrong way.
So now he's lying. Now he's going to hit another one because it's a tournament. And then even if it wasn't, hits another one. Smashes it right down the middle, about 290. Line three now. Then it's a 9-9, 119 yards, one bounce, a little bit of a roll in the cup for a four. Greatest par I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Crowd pleasing.
Nice job.
We were going nuts.
Very good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Chris, how was your weekend?
It's good.
Do you recall it?
Yeah. I don't know.
You outdid me.
He's out of control.
I'm swollen today.
Oh, are you?
The shoes are a little tighter. Yeah, yeah. Had a nice bottle of wine on Friday evening.
The last I heard, you were getting a whole bunch of meat and smoking meat.
Yeah. I woke up at 2 on Saturday morning. I hit snooze, and I woke up at 3.
Oh, okay.
And then I put the pork shoulder on.
So you're only an hour behind schedule?
Yeah. It was on there for 14 hours.
You're good.
It was delicious. Oh, okay. Went through, shredded. Had about 20 people come over to my house.
You had 20 people at your house?
Well, a lot of them were little, like kids.
Oh, okay.
But cornhole, I got this thing called putter ball, which is basically beer pong, but you putt into the holes. You don't throw a ping
really?
Ball. Fantastic
like that.
Game. Ended up playing that till about midnight.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Nice.
Very fun weekend.
Now, were you loud? Yeah. Did your neighbors mind the activity next door?
No. We weren't that loud.
I didn't think I'd, besides a golf tournament, which was maybe 8:30, got home Friday night, stayed in. My wife wasn't feeling well all weekend, so hung with her Friday. Saturday, played the tournament, was home by 2 o'clock, took an hour nap, got up, football at home. Sunday, got up at 7.
Yeah.
Just late for me.
Jeez, you're a nut.
Made us breakfast. Went back to bed. Got up at noon.
Because you were tired because you got up so early.
No, but you know, it was a good Pete catch-up. I need a catch-up day every couple of months.
I need one every Saturday.
I usually buy it once every 6 to 8 weeks. I need one. And
I hate you guys.
And that was on Sunday. So I got up at noon. And it might have even been 12:30. Got up at 12:30.
Well, Chris, if you wouldn't stay up till midnight drinking, you'd be able to sleep. That's where you get
your
sleep. You need your sleep on the front end. Sorry, Pete.
That's all right. No, then caught up. Then just watched caught up on some shows and watch football.
All right, it's all good.
Yeah.
Again, while we're just kind of getting going here, and this Astros story is breaking, it's worth it though, right? They got the ring. They didn't have to take this. This isn't like college athletics.
Right,
where you have to take the banner down. Okay, so they cheated. They got a World Series. They were in another one.
The investigation covered the period from 2016 through the present. During the investigation, the DOI interviewed 68 witnesses, including 23 current and former Astro players. Some witnesses were interviewed multiple times.
All right. So the GM and the manager have to sit out a year and a $5 million fine, but you got a World Series.
Astros do not vacate their 2017 World Series title.
There you go. Boom.
However,
if you were to pull the other 29 managers in Major League Baseball,
yeah,
hey, you can win a World Series,
yeah,
but you're going to have to be suspended for a year as a result of that World Series. Would you do it?
You take the deal, particularly if it's later in your career.
Yeah, you take the deal, right?
You've got money.
You take the deal.
I mean, AJ Hinch doesn't have to work another day in his life if he doesn't want to. Yeah, I think you take the deal. So what does that mean? I'm saying you cheat?
Yeah.
You
I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Okay. Seems like that's what I'm saying. All right, we'll get to all this. A lot going on.
Much more flagrant violations a couple years ago with the hacking into the St. Louis Cardinals computer system. I think that's way more egregious, don't you?
Could I say it's different because that was just the front office versus this was on the field, the team?
Yeah.
But wasn't this Luhnow and his people? They came from the Cardinals to run the Astros. This is the same guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Yankees are going to be in trouble. I think Alex Cora and the Red Sox could be. He was the bench coach during this time for the Astros. So will he get a year suspension? I don't know if he'll get it. I don't know.
Now, I was under the assumption that everybody does it. The Dodgers are coming out and saying, well, we did it the right way. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Maybe they did. All right. Well,
here's a release from Rob Manfred, a little excerpt from what they put out. While no one can dispute that Luhnow's baseball operations department is an industry leader in its analytics, it is very clear to me that the culture of the baseball operations department manifesting itself in the way its employees are treated, its relations with other clubs, and its relations with the media and external stakeholders has been very problematic.
Jeff Passan also says discipline for Red Sox manager Alex Cora is coming. It is going to be harsh, per sources.
I'd say he's gone for a year as well.
I would agree with that. Wow.
Probably.
So that's opening the door for my Tigers this year. Big year coming up. How many days till pitchers? In fact, I think I saw a stat yesterday that we were 74 days removed from the World Series and we're 74 days away from opening day. We're at hump day for Major League Baseball.
Great.
I'm ready to go.
Awesome.
All right, before we get further down the clock here, it is 9 minutes past the hour. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown to kick things off. Here's Chris.
In the NFL Conference Championship weekend, it is set Sunday. The Chiefs host the Titans starting at 3. That's followed by the Niners hosting the Packers, scheduled for right around 6:45. The Jaguars and offensive coordinator John DeFilippo have mutually agreed to part ways after one season in Jacksonville. Tonight, we crown a champion in college football. Clemson takes on LSU. Coverage starts at 6:30 on 99.3 ESPN. You can watch it at 8 on anything with the letters ESPN on it.
All right, good to go. So where do we want to start with this weekend? Obviously, we got to start with the Chiefs game. It was the craziest game of the entire NFL season.
Really was. And, man, there was a time that if you had shekels on it, you were up 34 to nothing. Right up until you got outscored with the 10 points, by the way. With the 10 points. But then you get outscored 51-7. It kind of diminishes that.
51-7 from about 11 minutes ago. That's not good. I think Chris pointed out earlier in our pre-show meeting, we'll call it that, this is pretty similar to the Dolphins' season opener in which they lost
59-10.
That's how bad the beatdown was moving forward once Bill O'Brien's team was up 24-0.
The difference was it took the Niners 4 quarters to get 59 points. The Chiefs only needed 3 to get 51.
Yeah.
And again, Billy O'Brien, I know that he's just going to come down. And by the way, like I just said, I just retweeted a tweet that says nothing is going to change in the Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien says the organization will likely keep the current structure and run operations without a GM.
Now, says him, because he's the boss. There's no GM and there's no active owner.
Early on, special teams on both sides made a huge difference. Brad Seeley, special teams coach for the Texans, the block punt. A lot of good things were happening. Now, I don't know when that fake punt, whose call it was. If Seeley didn't want to call it and Billy O'Brien said, here's a real good time, but that was obviously a key play in the game. Now, if it works, you look like a genius. And it was a shoestring tackle. It was a heck of a tackle that was made. But I think the bigger one for me even was not going forward on 4th and inches
taking
when they
had
to take a timeout. And once again, we see coaches, and I don't understand it. You're supposed to practice this stuff all the time, situational football. And they weren't ready. All you got to do is say, Deshaun, just fall forward. It's 2 inches. You're the biggest quarterback of one of although he looked pretty skinny yesterday. But just go. You take a timeout, and then you kick the field goal.
I thought that
was weak.
I don't know why you run that at all, because you get it. Okay, great. You're up 24-7. There's still 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's not like you're going to run the quarter out
right, and
not give Patrick Mahomes the ball back.
Right.
You're deep in your own territory. We're at the 34 That's kind of where he got tackled, 35, 40, somewhere in there. Yeah. I just don't understand. Even if you get it, great. You still got 60 yards to go to score a touchdown. You're still up 17 points. There's still 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. It was way too early in that game. It was an awful coaching decision. Even if you get it, it just makes no sense.
Here's why I think it was the planned play on the fake punt, because Billy O'Brien afterward was adamant. He goes, look, 24 points, it was not going to be enough to beat the Chiefs. We needed to score 50. We needed to keep going and keep being aggressive. That was just the wrong place to do it. That's all. Punt it, live another day, and you're still up by several scores. He hit the panic button way too early in this game.
I think so, and I think it sent the wrong message, and the message should have been sent was the right message would have been to go for that at 4th and inches.
And remember, up until that point, Kansas City just had the 7 points on the board. They hadn't started the onslaught of score.
It would have been 28-7 to 28-0 had they gone for that. Would have been 28-0.
It would have been 28-0 because it went to 24-0.
And I do think that, I mean, it sounds crazy, but maybe that takes a little more wind out of the city. I don't know, but you put them. I think they felt like that was a moral victory. I certainly was like, geez, what are you doing? How do you call a timeout? Even if you did call the timeout, which they did, what do you? You got to go for it there. You got to go for it there. In my opinion,
most NFL games, if you're up 24-0, it's almost a wrap. Most of them, not all of them, but I got a feeling that once. Maybe you did too. Once Kansas City got that 7 on the board, stop the hemorrhaging, then you kind of feel, if you're a Houston fan, aren't you a little uneasy at that point? Even though it was still 24-7. I mean, that's a big lead. You had the feeling right then and there that that game might start to change a little bit. And then it just accelerated like gasoline on a fire. You couldn't stop it.
Yeah, I mean, they again, Brian called for the fake punt at the Houston 31. The Chiefs snuffed it out. As the Chiefs continued to, then Texas continued to fall. On the ensuing kickoff, Houston, DeAndre Carter fumbles as the ball popped loose into the arms of Darwin Thompson. And to set up the Mahomes to Kelsey touchdown in a matter of, I don't know, 4 seconds. And the third came after the Chiefs forced a punt, a successful one for a change, and that drove 90 yards. That was a 90-yard drive at the end to take a 28-24 lead at the half. Amazing.
So a couple of the sidebars that are kind of humorous, as we mentioned a moment ago, they literally ran out of fireworks at Kansas City that they like to shoot off after all the touchdowns. And apparently there's some famous fan that just left. Now, he claimed he was doing it for the good of the team, that his presence was bad luck.
And
that
bad karma.
His departure would spur a comeback by the Chiefs, which did happen afterward. But we'll have some sound from Patrick Mahomes later on at Sound Street. Basically, Tom, just stay home, dude. You're not a real fan. And you missed the greatest comeback in Chiefs history.
And there's some unbelievable stats regarding this game.
And that's not how I took what Patrick Mahomes said.
No?
No, it was more of like a, yeah, you are bad luck. Stay home next week.
Yeah.
Well, not you're not a real fan. It was thank you.
No.
It's like a tip of the cap.
Okay.
But so keep the cap.
So I think I'd text you guys this stat. This is one stat. Baltimore closed as a 10-point favorite over the Titans at Caesars in Vegas prior to Saturday. The Ravens now the only team in Super Bowl. This is another game, obviously. But the Ravens the only team in the Super Bowl era that has failed to lose a game when favored by 10 or more points in a single game. They have been 36-0 as a 10-plus point favorite.
All right, let me ask you this. Where are we on Lamar Jackson?
Well, here's where we are, and these are just facts. Lamar Jackson's first 7 quarters in the playoffs, 3 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles, a 50% completion rate, a passer rating of 68.
All right.
Which is why it's never as easy as it seems.
So where are we on Lamar Jackson? Because he's the MVP of the league this year, and it's not even going to be close.
Yeah.
Great in the regular season.
He deserved it.
But his overall impression, we're going to remember his first 2 playoff games.
I mean, he's
El Stinko.
You get him and Earl Thomas talking about, you know, like around week 6 or 7 when they started to really get it together about Super Bowl. And I said it then. It's just, I don't know. You haven't done nothing. You've done nothing. You've had a great regular season. You've done. It is so hard to win in the playoffs.
He's 23.
I know. Well, he's going to win games, obviously. But
okay,
but
thank you.
You don't talk Super Bowl.
Thank you.
But you don't talk about the Super Bowl and winning it and Earl Thomas saying, well, whoever gets the Super
he's
Bowl.
He's 20.
No, but Chris, you don't say, and Earl Thomas, you don't go in week 6 or 7 and say, whoever we play in the Super Bowl is going to be in trouble. You don't say that in week 6 or 7. You want to say that when you win the AFC Championship.
All right.
That's fine. But you don't say that in week 7. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to eviscerate Lamar Jackson because he lost a playoff game. I mean, he's gotten his team to the playoffs. What was Peyton Manning's record in his first 5 playoff games?
I don't recall.
0-5.
That was ancient.
You want to eviscerate that guy as well?
Eviscerating Lamar Jackson.
I will say this. The pressure on the first playoff game for Baltimore next year on him is going to quintuple. It's going to be unbelievable.
It's not just, I mean, look, I'm saying you don't, it's not about him losing. I don't care that he lost the game. A lot of good quarterbacks have lost games like that earlier. I'm saying, don't talk about winning the Super Bowl in week 7.
Well, what Craig said was, what do we think about Lamar Jackson?
That's all I said. It was an open-ended question.
And I just...
Leading the witness.
And one of the appropriate answers would have been Craig.
I gave you the numbers.
It's just 2 playoff games. The guy's been awesome. He's an MVP.
You do realize he's younger than Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
He could still be playing college football. Instead, he's going to be the MVP of the league.
Probably should have stayed in school.
Okay.
Got that degree.
All right.
But when Peyton Manning was the MVP of the league, and when Tom Brady was the MVP of the league, and Ben Roethlisberger was the MVP of the league, they didn't throw up 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles either. They didn't. The MVP of the leagues win championships, or at least get there.
Now.
That is absolutely not true.
Of course
Patrick
it is.
Patrick Mahomes was the MVP of the league last year. He didn't get to the Super Bowl, nor did he win it.
Come on. Get out of here, Chris. Wait a second.
Chris,
you're going to compare Patrick Mahomes' playoff stats with Lamar Jackson?
I'll compare Patrick Mahomes last year Lamar Jackson this year.
It's
a very comparable comparison there.
I'm talking about the playoff stats.
I'm not talking about that.
Hold on. Technically, Patrick Mahomes did get to the Super Bowl, but he got jammed by the stupid penalty against the Patriots. Yeah. In the AFC Championship game and never got his hands on the ball in overtime.
I'm talking about playoff numbers. Patrick Mahomes, it's not even close.
I mean, okay.
I mean, it's two games. Look, he's going to win.
But look, okay, thank you. That's all. That's all that needs to be said. Let's not go writing on about how the.
Don't be so defensive. I'm just going.
I'm not being defensive.
I can only go by what the man has done in two playoff games, and it hasn't been good. Right. And he was in the league MVP. Doesn't usually
this is
put
a team
up numbers
sport. Like, yeah. go look. Go look at the numbers yeah. Ryan Tannehill's put up. Can you look at that and say that's winning football in the playoffs? No, the guy's completed like 147 passing yards in 120 minutes of football.
But it's a team sport here,
totally
guys.
It's a team sport.
Totally agree.
And one of his picks were off the hands of his best weapon this year, Mark Andrews.
Totally agree. Not denying you that at all. Happens to a lot of teams. Doesn't it?
Not to mention.
How about the drops yesterday?
How about
everywhere?
How about Derrick Henry? Can we just take a moment and realize what he has done? He's rushed for like 400 yards almost in his last two games.
My biggest contention is, Craig and Chris, it's don't talk smack during the regular season about winning the Super Bowl when you haven't even gotten one playoff game yet. What do you mean, please?
Come on.
That's all I'm saying.
First of all, Lamar Jackson did not talk smack about being in the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did.
I remember exactly what you're talking about. It was Earl Thomas. Find what Lamar Jackson said, please, because I never remember seeing anything.
Mark Ingram was fanning
it, here. Chris Pete is right again. That's what it says.
Yeah, does it?
On his Twitter account.
Okay, yeah.
All right. By the way, speaking of Twitter, in all seriousness, I know we say this all the time about Antonio Brown. He spazzed out again today. I tweeted it out. His baby mama was there and his kids. They took the kids out in the car and his wife. The police came to his home. He wouldn't come off his property. It was a profanity-laced racial tirade at about seven policemen of all different colors, shapes, and sizes, by the way. He threw a bag of candy that was...
phallically shaped.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, that looked like basically gummy bears that were phallically shaped while his kids were out in the street. It's frightening, what that guy has become.
So apparently he allowed the baby mama on the property because he had evicted her before.
Yes.
To come pick up the kids to take them to school. This is Hollywood, Florida. And I originally thought it was Hollywood, California. It's Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah.
And then when she tried to depart, apparently she tried to get in the Bentley, which really rubbed him the wrong way. And then that's when the cops were called, apparently. I don't know who called the cops. I don't know if it was her or him.
Yeah,
but he's sitting here filming the whole thing on his camera. Maybe he's thinking, well, I need to protect myself against the police. I'm going to put this on video. No, he did it so he could tweet it right out to the whole world and show the world what an ass he is.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. This guy's just sick and nutty.
How do you ever let him? I don't care who wants to work him. And then he tweeted a video out over the weekend of his time with New Orleans. And again, just he must really. I said before, I'll say he must have no friends, not any true friends. There's no way. Because do you ever see him around anybody?
No.
I mean, a close friend.
If anybody ever needed a father figure growing up and didn't have it's him. This is ground zero. I mean, this guy's just a mess. He doesn't know how to interact with human beings.
But anyway, the rest of the games, getting back to that.
Let's go to the phones. Tyler wants to talk about Lamar Jackson. We got two more playoff games to talk about as well, and college football and the national championship tonight. 239-337 ESPN. Tyler, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Go ahead.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So I was just listening in to what you guys are saying about Lamar Jackson, and I think it was Chris that brought up that he's 23 years old. I mean, you can't look at Lamar Jackson like you would look at a 23-year-old, say Mahomes or anybody else. You got to look at him like a running back because he's going to take all those carries every year. He's only looking at five or six prime years in the league. He takes too many hits. And so when you're thinking about what is he ever going to get in terms of the playoffs, is anybody truly surprised that they got bounced? I mean, everyone was waiting for it.
You were a 10-point favorite. I'm very surprised.
I'm not surprised that any team would lose. I'm surprised they lost that badly.
Agreed for sure. But I was just waiting for the moment when Lamar Jackson had that game where somebody just figured it out. I mean, sure, it took much longer than at least I anticipated, but it's coming. You can't put Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes on the same scale. You know, like I was listening earlier, I don't remember what show it was. Lamar Jackson is Mike Vick 2.0, and Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers 2.0. Which one would you rather have? And that basically sums it up. I mean, you're just waiting for the loss.
Look,
thank you, Tim.
Lamar Jackson's a great athlete. He's a real good quarterback right now. I'm not throwing great anywhere yet. It's way too early to say that. He's had some great games. And you look at his numbers. If you didn't see the game and looked at his numbers, you say, oh, my God.
His numbers are through the roof.
Yeah, a lot of that was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of that was in the fourth quarter.
But you're also going to throw a lot of this, I think, on Harbaugh. I mean, because Vrabel did it and his staff did an unbelievable job.
I'm glad that caller said what he did. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting on him to fail. You've been waiting for 4 months to wait for a dude to fail? Way to go, Tyler. Way to go, sport. Real class act there, pal. Let's wait on the guy to fail, huh?
Guy that remembered Lamar from last year and was thinking it was too good to be true, but in fact, Lamar just kept getting better and better each and every week. Look, nobody predicted Lamar Jackson was going to have this year. Nobody.
Nobody did.
Well, except John Harbaugh. No, you did not, Chris. You put your hand down.
Go back and watch Chris's fantasies. Go back and watch it. I'll pull the tape for you.
After the Cleveland game.
No. Before the first kick of the season happened. Was on Lamar Jackson. Come at me.
I didn't call MVP.
I did say top 10 quarterback in fantasy football this year.
Top 10, that's nothing.
In fantasy, I'll grant you that.
Top 10, that's like a healthy Matthew Stafford. That's nothing.
Called it.
That's nothing.
In fantasy, okay.
Well, it's Chris's fantasies. I mean, everything's in fantasy football. Lean on it, by the way. Wow.
All right. We are just warming up. Listen, two more games we still got to get to, Niners and Vikings. And I have some questions about the end of the Packers-Seahawks game from last night, including officiating. We'll get to that. And we've got ourselves a national championship tonight between Clemson and LSU we got to get to. By the way, we'll have the game right here, airtime 6:30, Clemson versus LSU, brought to you by Backstreet Sports Bar and Grill. Sheeman and Shepard warming up on a Monday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Monday. Glad you can be with us here. Huge football weekend. Still two of the four NFL football games we need to get into. Don't forget national championship tonight, college football, Clemson and LSU, which we'll have here on 99.3 ESPN. And just as we were coming on the airwaves, we mentioned at 2 o'clock, big-time suspension in Major League Baseball for the Astros and their cheating scandal of stealing signs electronically. Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, A.J. Hinch, the manager, suspended for a year. Team fined $5 million, first and second-round picks for the drafts. In, is it 2020 and 2021 or 21 and 22? Well, anyway, it's 2 years. And so big-time hammer coming down on the Astros.
And more just coming out, Joel Sherman from the New York Post and also MLB Network Insider. Red Sox manager Alex Cora was not punished for his part in this scheme, but hang on, as MLB continues to investigate involvement with the Red Sox in 2018 as manager, but he is all over this report, and a stern punishment is coming for him as well. And also, from the commissioner's report, Cora was involved in developing both the banging scheme.
The what?
The banging scheme and utilizing the replay review room.
They were banging the drum or something.
To decode and transmit signs, Cora participated in both schemes and through his active participation implicitly condoned the player's conduct. I will withhold determining the appropriate level of discipline for Cora until after the DOI completes its investigation of the allegations the Red Sox engaged in impermissible electronic sign stealing in 2018 while Cora was the manager. Again, both of it is all about the regular season.
They have audio of the Astros would signal signs to base runners by literally banging on trash cans and drums and not drums, but like it sounded like a drum. That's how they do the signals.
And in this report, it did say from the commissioner that the Astros continued to do this into and throughout the postseason.
Yeah.
So that this was not just just limited to regular season play. Yeah, they used it in the postseason.
And that year, and then after that, that's when they started. That's why Cora may get punished. But whoever did it in 2018 was not in the postseason because all the replay booths were basically policed by MLB and special umpires and all that stuff. So when the Red Sox played the Astros in the postseason in 2018, which I think the Red Sox won in, what, five?
Yeah.
What, four?
Whatever. Yeah, I think it was five, yeah.
So they're both cheating against each other.
not in the postseason, anyway.
So they don't have to give up the World Series title, though, so it was worth it. It's basically $5 million.
Well, what would it would just show in the history books that there was no World Series winner in 2017 or
if they had done that, but
yeah,
they're
17.
Not, but they're not going to.
We did. That's what I'm saying, though. You're not going to take the rings away from the players.
Yeah. The fans still have the T-shirts. The banner's still hanging.
Can you make them take the banner down?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Not if you're getting, not unless you're taking the World Series away, which they are not.
But if they had made them, if they had taken away the World Series.
Take the banner down like you did the Fab Five's Final Four.
Okay, so it won't say World Series. It'll say best in baseball.
Whatever they want to say.
Right. So, I mean, what are you doing?
So we're all saying who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Pretty much.
So here's how, again, this is, again, approximately, this is from the commissioner's report, approximately 2 months into the 2017 season, a group of players, including Carlos Beltran, discussed that the team could improve on decoding opposing team signs and communicating the signs to the batter. Cora arranged for a video room technician to install a monitor displaying the center field camera feed immediately outside of the Astros' dugout. The center field camera was primarily used for player development purposes and was allowed under MLB rules at the time when used for that purpose. Witnesses have provided largely consistent accounts of how the monitor was utilized. One or more players watched the live feed of the center field camera on the monitor, and after decoding the sign, a player would bang on a nearby trash can with a bat to communicate the upcoming pitch type to the batter. Witnesses explained that they initially experimented with communicating sign information by clapping, whistling, or yelling, but they eventually determined that banging a trash can was the preferred method of communication. Players occasionally also used a massage gun to bang the trash can. Generally, one or two bangs corresponded to certain off-speed pitches, while no bang corresponded to a fastball.
Mexico City texts again, says, Dodger fan here cares. Yeah, Dodgers. Every year getting there and coming up short. Kind of like the Georgia of MLB. I get you. I feel you. But, you know, they're not going to do anything about it. So you can, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter.
And through all of that, steal signs all you want. You still have 1 second less to hit, try to hit the ball.
No doubt, no doubt.
I mean, it doesn't, but it's like.
It's like steroids, right? But steroids doesn't make you hit a home run. Ball might go a little bit farther when you connect.
But like Pete Rose says, Pete Rose said last week, I think we mentioned, like, I never trusted the guy. He was, we all did it. He goes, I never trusted the guy who was feeding me the signs
sure.
that were allegedly stolen because all it takes is for me to look over the plate on a breaking ball down and away, and I get one up high, up one high and inside, and I get one right in a kisser.
Yeah. No bueno.
Because I never trusted the people relaying the signs to me, so
for sure.
I don't know.
All right. If anything comes out on this more, we'll get back to it. All right. Let's take a left back into football. Last night, Packers and their win over the Seattle Seahawks, 28-23. Interesting game in that it looked like the Packers kind of had a control, but then the Seahawks kept making it interesting. I have two questions for you. Pete Carroll's decision to punt the ball away, down by five with, I don't know, what, about 3 minutes to go. He's getting some heat for it, but he said, look, it was 4th and 11. The odds were not in our favor. You agree or disagree with that move? Should he have kept the ball? And I mean, again, the 4th and 11 does make it a difficult decision right then and there. I believe he had three time, or at least two timeouts.
If it's me in that situation because of the time and the timeouts, I would have gone for it.
You'd have gone for it?
I would have gone for it.
I would argue with all the timeouts he had, it might have been okay to punt it like he did, and then you make a stop on defense, but that's, you know, that's not. Now, let me ask you this. The Packers eventually were able to run out the clock. They got a first down late in the game.
It was short.
It looked like they were short of the line. They reviewed it. Said, no, it was a first down. Then they were getting ready to play again. They went back and reviewed it again because what was the verbiage they used? Like what do they say? New information had come in or something like that? And it was basically their way of saying another angle, which also showed it short. I think they missed one and everybody blew it off.
Except I saw another angle or another team where it had the yellow line next to the real red line, which was the line of scrimmage, and the yellow line was off, and I don't know what to believe. To me, it looked short. I thought it was short, but when you saw, I saw this other angle where the yellow line might have been off by a half a yard or so, because that is not the exact.
Right,
you're all going
right
by the yellow line,
right?
And they say the yellow line isn't exact, but it seemed very, very close.
New evidence. New evidence is with that. Due to new evidence, we had to go back and look at it a second.
I thought he was short.
I thought he was too.
But
all right, so they move on to take out the 49ers, who absolutely manhandled the Vikings. I don't know what to make of the Vikings. I mean, Nick Bosa was in Kirk Cousins' grill all day long.
And I think he's going to be in Aaron Rodgers' grill all day long next week,
just like he was last time. This was the game. Remember, the Packers-49ers game of the regular season, that was the game in which the Packers, if you read it between the lines, they were drinking and partying out there in Los Angeles, right?
Or, yeah. Or what was that game? 36-8?
Oh, no, that's not true. No, that was the Rams game, right?
No, it was both of them,
though. It was the Chargers.
It was the Chargers.
They played Chargers-Niners back-to-back.
Okay, so that wasn't the game. Okay.
No, but both times.
They stayed out there.
He stayed out there
for
2 weeks.
They didn't go back home.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you.
They stayed out there for 2 weeks, and it was definitely referenced that they enjoyed the West Coast life a little too much.
Now, we talked about it because no Aaron Rodgers, he had a comment after the
After the Charger game, and then he
after
had another
the Charger
one.
Game, yeah.
And he wasn't happy. You could read between the lines, like he said it. I think he even used the word "enjoyed." We enjoyed ourselves out here a little.
Sorry,
too much.
They were in Los Angeles against the Chargers. They lost that game 26-11. They came home and played the Panthers. Okay. Before going back out and losing to the 49ers. Okay. That 49ers game was 37-8.
But still, it was the Charger game that they were drinking boosting it up.
But even in this game, it's the Vikings came, but it's 14-10 at the half. I mean, they were in the game. They're in the game. They just didn't score the second half.
I know.
What was it, the muff punt?
Yeah, that
really
was
hurt.
And they got lucky because they muffed two. One they recovered in that one. The interception to Richard Sherman was just – that was horrific.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit of Kirk Cousins doing Kirk Cousins things.
Right, right.
There. It's clear, man. When he needs to be the guy to make everything work, he's not consistent enough. I'm not going to say he can't do it because he can do it for little bits. Just not consistent enough.
But he went for the first month of this season, we were all saying $84 million bust. Then something switched, and he was the hottest quarterback in the league for 5 or 6 weeks. And then he had a big, big, big win against the Saints. No doubt about that the previous week. And then this. Whatever you want to say, it was good enough apparently to get Kevin Stefanski the new head coaching job at the for the Cleveland Browns, their offensive coordinator. We'll get into that later on in the show, though.
One thing that is definitely true about the 49ers and their defense is that guy Witherspoon's got to go. I mean, they benched him in the what really was kind of like a playoff game against Seattle, the last regular season game. He was awful in that one. They started him yesterday, although I don't know why. He got burned by Diggs early on that 41-yard touchdown catch, and then they benched him again for Emmanuel Mosley. But you cannot start that guy if you're San Francisco. If you're going to lose him in a dime or a dollar package as a 6 or 7 DB, that's fine. But he was toast in that game. And if he stayed in, I'm convinced Minnesota might have made more of a game of it. But the Niners defense, as you said, really tightened up in the second half, did a number on him. Now, I don't know if it's going to be easy. You're a Levitard today. It's like, how can Green Bay win? And I'm not intelligent enough to make these decisions. All right, that was one game. Obviously, they party too much, whatever. I don't know. I tend to think the 49ers have the upper edge right now. I'm going to wait to see what the line is and make my picks next Friday. But then I still have my conspiracy. Not my conspiracy theory, but I brought this up to Craig.
Oh, you got a nice conspiracy theory here.
Oh, great.
No, it's not really conspiracy
theory. I like
it. Because, Chris, what would happen if it was Green Bay and Kansas City in the Super Bowl?
My answer to Pete was, this is great for State Farm. Because you've got Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl.
This is the 100th year of the NFL.
That's the right answer.
Wasn't that Super Bowl one?
Super Bowl one.
Yes.
Bingo.
Yep.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
Just came up with it.
See, you think differently than I do.
That would be kind of cool.
I'm all about the commercial hype. You're about the statistical hype.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then we see all Hank Stram highlights.
Matriculating the ball down the field.
Yeah, that was more when they won the Super Bowl, when they beat the Vikings in Super Bowl three. I don't think in Super Bowl one he had to reach that part of his lexicon yet, you know?
All right, so
Tua hater texting in, didn't y'all knuckleheads pick Seattle? Tua hater, that was against the spread.
And yeah. We only missed by a point.
And we all said it was going to be a really close game, so I'll take the points.
We only missed by a point.
Yeah.
We all went 1-3. We still have tonight's game.
Different ones. Well, for me.
You nailed the Kansas City game.
I had that. Nailed it like a split hard.
You were not afraid of the 9.5.
I wasn't even afraid when we were down 24 points, to be honest with you. No, I'm sitting there when they're down 24 going, oh, no, not another offer this weekend.
Not another offer. Tennessee, Kansas City, the AFC game. That's the early one. Then it's Green Bay and San Francisco. We got Sound Street coming up. We saw Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher going to the Hall of Fame. That was cool over the weekend, if you want to talk about that as well. Clemson, LSU, we're all over it. Still need to cover all that. Stay with us. Sound Street next. Don't forget the Natty tonight, 6:30. Backstreet Sports Bar and Grill. Clemson and LSU right here at 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepard still warming up on a Monday. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepard.
Lots of NFL. Let's start it off with Mark Ingram. After Baltimore was embarrassed, their season came to a halt after the Titans beat them up. Here's Mark Ingram. Says they got their behinds kicked.
We got our ass with today, for real. So we going home. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, we didn't play our best football today. So give them credit. They played a good game. And, yeah, so it showed.
That's the first time in my entire career that I've played a soundbite where the first word was beeped. It just rolled from there.
He had two touchdowns, including one from like the 1 yard line.
Hey, he did his job.
His shirt really stretches, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. No.
Supposed right. to tuck it in.
Here's Andy Reid down 24-0. He said no problemo.
I just said, listen, this isn't you. I mean, let's just get back, relax. Pump the brakes here for about a second and refocus and let's go. I mean, it's that simple, really. I mean, you're in that situation. You've only got a few quarters to play this game, so you got to get it done and no need to panic, right? That's not going to help it at all. So you just try to fix the problem, and that's kind of what we did.
51-7 from that point on.
The kid's name is Casey, but you really want to know an unsung hero. A great big play in that game was that kickoff return by that rookie from Georgia, by the way, that ran it back to set up the first touchdown.
Was that Mecole Hardman?
I believe it was. It was like 50-something yards, but that was a gigantic. And I was saying, man, they needed that. Romo right away. Yep, they needed
from
that.
From Georgia, huh?
Rookie from Georgia. Imagine that.
Well, he's obviously tasted the agony of defeat and didn't want to do it again, so now he's better.
Well done.
Thank you.
I had to flip that.
Yeah, thank you. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about that super fan that left early to try and be good luck for his team.
Patrick, you talk about the fans and how important they were. There was one fan who's now going viral. He left when you guys were down 24-0 because he said it was in the best interest of the team. What would you say to that fan?
Watch next game at home.
Stay away. Meanwhile,
it's like they make it like the great when athletes say
that's
something.
That's what
remotely,
the media does. Yeah.
Oh, we're such frauds. We are such frauds. Not we in this room, but others.
I am not a fraud. Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of fraud.
What? All right. Here's Bill O'Brien, and this is why I think this was all on him on the fake punt. This answer right here.
You know, I think these games were always. You know, games with momentum swings. You know, we had momentum at that point. Just felt like, we were going to try to make a play there, and it just didn't work.
Okay. Now, here's Richard Sherman. I was a little surprised to hear this. Richard Sherman has gone his entire career thinking everybody's disrespecting him. Nobody disrespects Richard Sherman.
No.
Everybody holds him in high esteem. The defenses he is on are always pretty good. But it baffles him how he says the Niners don't get any respect.
What is he?
Well, nobody's standing inside the league because they see the tape. It's just the nonsense from the media. It's like they got to sell a story.
Uh-huh.
This is a 1 seed versus a 6 seed, and you have people calling an upset. Like we haven't played the whole season like we've been playing.
Who?
You know what I mean? It's just odd. It's really odd. It's odd conversations, but. You know, I guess it sells tickets. It sells the story. But, you know, I'm thankful we get another opportunity to play, and we look forward to whoever we get to play next.
Who's he talking
because
about?
Now, a 6 seed, you mean like Tennessee beating Baltimore?
Right, exactly.
Or the Giants being a 6 seed and winning the Super Bowl? Or the Packers being a 6 seed and winning the Super Bowl? And the Steelers
being a 6 seed?
Steelers have
done it, too. There you go.
Winning the Super Bowl? So shut up.
I mean, I like Richard Sherman.
What is this? He does this all the time.
I know.
God forbid. It's
fake
football.
Outrage.
You're only up by 4th. It's not like you won 55-0.
Yeah, whatever you got to do. Keep yourself
That's
motivated.
That's how you gotta motivate yourself. Huh?
Well, Michael Jordan would do that, not to the media, but he'd say, like, he'd figure out one thing that the person guarding him has said in the past, and he'd construe it in whatever way to make himself almost a little pissed off going into a basketball game.
Wow. All right, when we come back, not enough time here, but Marshawn Lynch with a post-gamer for the ages.
All time.
It's unbelievable.
We got three great sound bites actually still to get to.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher were surprised alive on the air that they are now going to be in the Hall of Fame. That was a great moment over the weekend as well. And then we got to kind of switch gears a little bit and do a deep dive onto this big game tonight. Clemson and LSU for a natty in college football. Yes?
Oh.
What?
Guest coming up next?
Not next. It's at 4:30.
4:30.
Yes. He's been on the program before. William Quackenbush. He is with the Clemson Radio Network. So we'll get his thoughts and preview the game tonight. That's at 4:30 coming up. So
he's very good.
Yeah. Lots to do. Scheman and Shepherd, 1 hour in the books on a Monday. Don't forget a Scheman and Shepherd cash grab coming up in an hour as well. Right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.